In the mid-30s, Django and his brother Joseph joined up with bassist Louis Vola. Vola's little band later became the nucleus of the Hot Club Quintet. The quintet, by the way, was not a working band, but it was a recording ensemble. This was put together for a series of recordings released by the Hot Clubs of France. This was a society of jazz enthusiasts and collectors who issued these recordings, trying to spark deeper interest among the French record-buying public for jazz.
The Reinhardts changed lodgings and Vola changed bands. It was now Louis Vola and his brothers. Django rented a cabin on the beach near Théoul. He bought wine in 50-liter casks. The butcher delivered entire animals. Gypsies and musicians were treated like visiting royalty. The money burned. How much was left was not important. What it implied was important. Success. Acceptance. Django was like a child turned loose in a candy store. One afternoon, Django drove up to the casino in a 1926 Dodge. Having no driver's license did not bother him in the least. What better throne for a 20th century prince than genuine leather seats? Nobody was allowed to handle the Dodge, not even mechanics. Never thought to check the oil or water levels. A car was supposed to move. That was all that mattered. The exhaust pipe caught fire on the road. Vola put it out with some sand. This car is worthless, Django observed. He left it on the side of the road and never went back for it. He used diminished, suspended, and augmented chords way ahead of their time. He bought more cars. He could play any song in any key. He hosted more feasts. Django Reinhardt reinvented the guitar like Louis Armstrong reinvented the trumpet.
yet another of Django's originals, Daphne, that recording from 1937 with two great jazz violinists, Eddie South and Stephan Grappelli. Before that, HCQ Strut, Hot Club Quintet Strut from 1939. Django's recordings made with Grappelli and the Hot Club were not the only recordings he made in the later 30s. In Paris, he was extremely popular among musicians and in heavy demand on the French jazz scene. Django recorded with other jazz fiddlers, American Eddie South, French saxophonist André Echion, Belgian bandleader Fouad Kandries, and French saxophonist Alix Combel, an admirer of Coleman Hawkins. And Hawkins himself was among the American jazz men living, working, or touring in Europe who jammed and recorded with Django during the mid and late 30s, such as trombonist Dickie Wells and Benny Carter.
Django decided to go to Paris to play with better musicians. Saxophonist André Echion told Charles Delaunay, "I was with him at a jam session at the Swingtime Club on Rue Fromentin. Benny Carter, Coleman Hawkins, and trumpeter Bill Coleman were also there. We began to play I Won't Dance, a tune that modulates a lot as it is. We tried having fun playing in odd keys. Bill Coleman gave up first, then Coleman Hawkins. Finally, it was just Benny Carter and Django, two masters." Titled French lady threw frequent parties to which she invited people from opposing walks of life. One evening, she asked both André Segovia and Django Reinhardt to perform. Segovia arrived on time and impressed the guests with his repertoire. Django came 3 hours late, without a guitar. He was smiling. He thought everything was just fine. He did not wear a watch. He went by the sun and the moon. Segovia refused to loan Django his guitar, so someone rushed off and came back with an old box with a cracked bridge. Segovia was amazed at what sounds the old box could produce. "Where can I get that music?" he asked. "Nowhere," Django laughed. "I just made it up." Thank you.
Wow. Django improvising what he called Echoes of Spain, mid-1939, probably just the sort of thing that so amazed and baffled Spanish guitar virtuoso Andres Segovia. We've also heard Django recording with Benny Carter in Paris, Blue Light Blues, and Django's Daphne. This is Jazz Rhythm, Dave Radlauer with you, exploring the life, music, and legend of French gypsy guitarist Django Reinhardt. Now, clearly, there are deep gypsy influences in Django's music, and a lot has been written about his minutiae gypsy roots, but it's very tricky to isolate those gypsy ingredients, because equally strong are elements and influences in his music of classical, jazz, and just about anything else that came in contact with his receptive mind and singular genius.
In a recording studio, the Belgian saxophonist and bandleader Fout Kandries wanted Django to play on his arrangement of something, but it was a written arrangement, and he knew Django could not read music. Django said, "That's okay, play it, I'll pick it up." Kandries thought putting it in an easier key might help. "Would you rather play in B flat or F?" he asked. "One of each," Django answered. "Let's do it." Naive, childlike is how Fout Kandries described him. He loved shiny things. When he was in Brussels during the war, he walked around town wearing a cowboy hat, a red scarf with white polka dots, white leather shoes, and a shiny bright blue suit. He was just like a child wearing a costume. It was a game. Life was a game to him.
Swing from Paris, the 1940 hot club with clarinetist Hubert Rostang and saxist Alex Combel, who sort of replaced the role that Grappelli had played and at least one of the three guitars in the original hot club lineup. Now, as I said, all the tunes this hour are originals composed by Django, and though he didn't formally read or write music, he was clearly an intuitive musical genius who often partnered with others to write down his ideas and publish them, most frequently with hot club violinist Stefan Grappelli. Now, by far, Django's best known and most successful tune is Nuage. Nuage, or Clouds, is an impressionist masterpiece, from its dissonant introduction through its subtly shifting harmonic transitions. It's a sophisticated musical composition, elusive, opaque, and hazy, like the mystery that was Django himself.
Thank you.
brainwash. Django was touring Britain with Crapelli in 1939 when German bombs began falling on London. Django rushed back to France. He and Crapelli were not to play together again for the next 6 years.
Delaunay calls him a peureux, a scaredy cat. With the first hint of trouble, the first wail of the air raid warning, he dashed to the shelter as fast as possible. Women and children last. Yet there was no reproach, not even a hint of accusation of cowardice from Delaunay. It was just a quirk, like showing up late or not showing up at all. When Django had his photo taken with a Luftwaffe officer, or played with or for the Germans, there was never a question of collaboration. He was exempt from the rules somehow. The Americans had gone home. Competition was light. Just about any European jazz man who could blow a chorus of the blues had all the work he could handle. A relatively obscure cult hero before the war, Django became a megastar overnight. People whistled Nuage on the street, and his name was on the walls of Paris. He was as well known as Maurice Chevalier, says Delaunay. There were no more American films, no touring American stars of stage, screen, and radio, no more American jazzmen. Germans hated swing. Swing was fun, and nobody in the world swung better than made in France Django Reinhardt. So swing it would be. As Paris began to receive its share of bombs, Django spent more and more time in the metro station bomb shelter. Sometimes he'd dive down there before a siren even sounded. It was time to get out of town. He went to Tonon-les-Bains, near the Swiss border on Lake Le Mans. There were plenty of gypsies in the hills, and they came down to visit him. Half of them seemed to be guitar players. They jammed every night in a restaurant. A Gaggio rhythm section arrived from Paris. People rode bicycles from neighboring villages in the dark. Django, the Gypsy King, was in town. There were poker games, billiard matches, and feasts. Here's this well-known face on his way across a tightly policed border from a country at war, and he makes it a party. Hey, folks, just sneaking through. One eyewitness recalled, "Everybody, but everybody in town knew that he was going to make a break for Switzerland. He discussed it openly with his cousins. They'd sit around the table drinking cognac, discussing what route to take." Of course, he was caught. The police found his English Society of Composers membership card. This by itself could have been enough to hang him as a spy. But the German officer began his interrogation with a smile. "Django, my man, what are you doing here?" And freed him with a warning.
We've been hearing Django recorded with the cream of French jazz musicians in 1940, Vendredi 13, Friday the 13th, Tears, and Nuage. And like all but a few of the tunes this hour, they were composed by Django. The lovely Tears and this lively At Jimmy's Bar, which was written by trumpeter Philippe Brun, were recorded with larger ensembles, loosely under Reinhardt's direction, released under the name Django's Music. We've been hearing Peter Coyote reading from Mike Zwerin's book about the confrontation between jazz and Nazism in Europe during World War II. The complete title is Tristesse de Saint-Louis, Jazz Under the Nazis, published in 1985 by Peachtree Books Division of William Morrow & Company. There's lots of information about Django on the World Wide Web. You can find real audio samples of his music at redhotjazz.com. And of course, the Jazz Rhythm website provides you more about Django and a portal to the World Wide Web of jazz sites at www.jazzhot.bigstep.com. Finally, I asked Peter for a personal word about Django. Here's what he had to say.
I've been listening to Django Reinhardt since I was 12 years old. I've been playing guitar since I was 16, and there's nobody who's interested in guitar music who hasn't listened to him and studied him. He's simultaneously an inspiration and a reproach to those plotters like me that have to do it by the book and study and practice. He just seems divinely inspired. Truly a genius.
Well, thanks very much, Peter Coyote, actor, writer, musician, and a great guy to work with. Thanks also to Command Productions in Sausalito, California, for technical assistance. Well, there's no doubt that Django and the quintet of the Hot Club of France created a distinct and original school of jazz during the 1930s, the only original jazz style created beyond American shores. That's Jazz Rhythm and the Music of Django Reinhardt. I'm Dave Radlauer. Thanks for listening.